Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
Whew, what a weekend of Premier League action that was then, Az. And then to round it off, as if Saturday and Sunday wasn't enough for you, a Monday night game at Old Trafford for the ages. A real, real Premier League classic that, wasn't it? This league never ceases to amaze me. Plenty to talk about in FPL, with many of the premiums scoring big. We'll dive into all the games, of course. But first, let's start with our teams. How did Game Week 16 go for you?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Monday night was crazy. I mean, that's one of the best Monday night footballs. Normally, it sort of it culminates, isn't it? It gets to Monday night and then it's a disappointing game and then
sometimes,
you sort of end the week. But that was a classic. It was okay. I mean, 72 points. It was a small green arrow. I can't really be getting small green arrows where I am. I want the big meteoric rises, you know.
Getting harder and harder every week to make those step changes, though, isn't it?
I know. And lots of teams are sort of becoming the same, aren't they? I mean, the transfers I made, you know, I bought in Foden, I bought in Fernandes, who obviously did well, but lots of people have got them in their sides, but they had to come in. So I don't know, it was a game week to just get my team in order, and hopefully I can kick on from there. So not too bad.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Well, it was 89 for me. I was very happy with that this week.
God.
Very good. Very good. Come on. You don't have to say it like that. Come on. You should say congratulations. So 89, I was happy with that. The defence was actually not much to write home about at all. Once Wolves scored that goal towards the end of the game at the Emirates, the Raya and Timber double clean sheet disappeared. So they got 2-2. Gay and Tarkowski, 1-1 for me. Virgil van Dijk in with 6, happy with that. But it was the midfield. The midfield came in clutch this week. It was superb. I had Saka captain with 22. So the 11 got doubled to 22. Bruno at 13. Foden with 11. And star of the show, Mr. Harry Wilson.
Harry Wilson.
Pointer as my transfer in this week.
What a move, Lee.
So happy with that. Well, every now and again, one comes off, doesn't it? Haaland 13, Thiago 2. So yeah, 89 points up to about 600 and something K now. So moving in the right direction. Did you keep any of your 5 free AFCON transfers from last week? Have you got some squirreled away for a rainy day, or did you just go mad and spend them all last week?
I squirreled one away, so I'm back up to 2. But the you know, it's always ifs and buts and maybes, isn't it, with FPL? But I had my eye on Minte to Rogers.
Ooh,
and I had
nice
exact funds, and I didn't do it. And you know, there's nothing worse than the transfers you don't do in FPL, I've always found.
Because you have to come on podcasts like this and say, oh, I thought about that. Oh, I knew that would be a good thing. And people go, well, why didn't you do it then? You know,
well, there's a difference between coming on and saying, oh, you know, I got Wilson in for his big haul, or I got Rogers in for his big haul. But yeah, unfortunately, I didn't really get any of those. So I was a bit annoyed about that. But you know, I think the value of having these at least 2 transfers going forward, when so many people have got 3, 4, 5, you know, because they've saved those 2. I just felt that was a bit more important than making those moves. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, already a bit down on that. So a bit annoyed.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, if you're a bit annoyed, we're going to start with Liverpool versus Brighton. We're going to just keep in that mode.
Our teams. Yeah.
It's one of them. Do you know, when they said to me, oh, you want to come on off the bench this week? And I looked at the fixtures and I thought, well, I'd definitely be on with Az. Oh, it's Liverpool Brighton this week. The producers have planned that, haven't they?
They've planned it.
Liverpool versus Brighton then. A quick word from me on Mo Salah. Of course, he's off to the African Cup of Nations now. So usually on this podcast, we'd spend a good 10 minutes talking about him, wouldn't we? Particularly when he's coming off the bench or he's in and out the team, as he has been a little bit. So a quick word on him. Racked up an XGI of 1.19, so that's good. He made 10 defensive contributions as well, so that's the most he's made in any match since game week 1. And a nice stat I got on X, actually, this is only the second game of the season in which he's made a tackle. As I don't know if you noticed that. That was a sensational stat I saw. So it's we did see a different sort of Mo Salah this game week. I don't know whether the benchings over the last few weeks maybe made a difference. Maybe it changes mentality a little bit. But we did see a slightly different Mo Salah. But like I say, off to the African Cup of Nations now, so no one's picking him in FPL. But the Liverpool fixtures are not too bad over the next 3. Spurs away on paper looks difficult, but listen, Spurs have got their own challenges, which we'll discuss a bit later on. Wolves at home in 18 and Leeds at home in 19, particularly the next 3, look good for Liverpool. We're just starting to find a little bit of form on the back of this Brighton game and other results. Away at Inter Milan was also a good result in the Champions League, wasn't it? So we're not going Salah because of AFCON, but Liverpool have a new goal-scoring hero. Hugo Ekitike, 7 goals in 10 starts now. Last time I checked his ownership, which was probably last night, Monday night, preparing for this podcast, it was 17.7% owned. I suspect he's gone up a little bit since then too. I'm finding him a little bit tricky to get in my team without taking out either Haaland or Thiago, which I clearly don't want to do right now. I've got Mark Guiu as my third forward, and upgrading from Guiu to Ekitike would mean quite serious surgery where else in my team. So I don't know. I'm probably going to forgo Hugo Ekitike over the next few weeks. What do you make of this game then, Az? And give us your thoughts on Liverpool FPL assets over that next nice three fixture run.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, it's the same story we've been saying for weeks, isn't it? It's like we want to invest in them, but outside of Virgil van Dijk, it's hard to know exactly where the points are going to come from and who's even going to play. You would think with, you know, an injury to Gakpo and Salah going off to AFCON, you'd think the team would be more, you know, would be easier to predict. But
yeah.
You're never really too sure who's going to play in the different positions. I mean, it's got to be good for Ekitike's minutes. I mean, he started the last two, but he was benched in the three before that. But obviously, there was a few more players around. But I still think there's a bit of a risk that Isak does start and Ekitike doesn't play. So my policy with Christmas and, you know, this schedule is getting players who are nailed on to play, you know, 80 plus minutes every week. And Ekitike is a brilliant option. And maybe he is someone who I should be considering at the kind of the rank I am. But I just worry that when you need him to come through in one of those games, you know, those really good games like you mentioned, he's just not going to play and not going to turn up.
Mm.
He's a difference maker though, and he's an unbelievable player. And he got off to such a good start this season. That's why his ownership is so high, and that's obviously just carried on till now. But I don't think I'm going to be going. I think the same as you. I look at Thiago. I think that's the one I'd probably have to move up, but I'd have to pull money out from somewhere else and then move my team around just to bring in a player that I'm not totally sure is going to play. But it's going to be horrible watching that Wolves game, isn't it? Because that could be anything.
Yeah, I hear you, Az, but I just feel like, and this is a bit of a Liverpool fan view rather than I've got any kind of stats to back it up, because over the last few weeks and the last couple of months and during the Salah saga, you know, Slot's relationship with the fans has been a little bit, if I'm being kind of up and down, been a little bit on a knife edge, isn't it? We're sort of, are we leaning towards Mo or are we leaning towards Arne Slot? And I think as a fan, I think there'd be question marks if he took Ekitike out of this team, you know. I hear you, by the way. Yeah, you've got two nines there. You've got Isak, you've got Ekitike. They're both vying for the same spot. Isak's still got some work to do to, I think, be first choice in this team. And, you know, there's an argument that says the more you play him, the more chance he has got of being the main striker in this team. And listen, we've spent a lot of money on him. So Slot's probably under a bit of pressure to get a tune out of him. But right now, as fans, we're sitting here going, well, Hugo's the man. Ekitike's the man. So I hear you on the rotation thing, but I think he'd be kind of mad to take him out of the team at the moment.
Do you think he starts that? Because they've got Thursday, Sunday, Thursday. That's game week 19 to 21. And that's Leeds, Fulham away, Arsenal away. So you could argue that after that Leeds game in 19, Fulham away, Arsenal away, that's two tough fixtures. And it's three games basically within a week of each other. That's the one I'd be worried about. But having said that, if you buy Ekitike now, you still get Spurs, Wolves and Leeds, which I agree with you, he probably does start all three. So maybe I'm thinking too far into the future, and actually this is a good time to still get him.
Maybe. I think it depends on the five transfer strategy that you rolled out last week as an FPL manager, right? If you're sitting there and you went crazy with your five transfers and spent them all, then you probably can't do a move like that. But if you've got a few in the bank and you want to bring Ekitike in and out, you know, bring him in for Spurs, Wolves and Leeds, particularly that Wolves game in 18 hours. I mean, it's sensational. It's a great one. And then maybe you take him out in 2021 because you've got the transfers in the bank. It's a bit of a luxury to be able to do it. I don't mind it. But I'll go back to something you said about 5 minutes ago, which I think is spot on. This is the time of the season where we like to pick the nailed 90-minute men, don't we? We don't like to pick any rotation risk because there are so many games. So I hear you. But I think if you're chasing rank, 17.7% owned, he's not exactly uber differential anymore. But I do like him. I do like him as an option. Liverpool defensively, though, I think the clean sheet, probably a little bit lucky in this game, actually. Brighton definitely had the chances. Racked up 1.9 XG of their own, which was slightly more, actually, than Liverpool racked up. Liverpool got 1.88 in this game. Diogo Gomez, in particular, missed a couple of big chances for Brighton. What do you make of the Brighton performance? Probably could have and should have had a goal, no?
Well, we should have scored. Simple as that. I can't quite. But you know, how many times do we do these podcasts or do I do these streams and I say, Brighton should have scored. I thought Minte, it was the best game I'd seen from him in a few weeks. He looked a bit poor over the last few games, but I thought he was back to his best in this. I think he caused problems, could have had an assist, had a good shot of his own. Yeah, Gomez was wasteful. I think he was a bit unlucky, a bit lucky to stay on the pitch as well with his sort of high boot.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I think the Liverpool clean sheet was a bit lucky, but overall I think Liverpool deserved the win. And I mean, the less said about Brighton defending. I don't think I'm in any position to judge Liverpool's defending when you watch some of Brighton's, because it was a bit comical at times when it started, you know, when Minte's just booting the ball away in the first, 2 minutes of the game, like straight to one of your players who then feeds Ekotike and scores. You know it's going to be one of those days, I think. And yeah, I think investment in Brighton is going to be tempered, because we've got a couple of decent like home games. We've got Sunderland next. I think you keep your players for that. But after that, we're such an inconsistent team. You can probably use those spots in your team better.
Arsenal away in 18, tricky.
Yeah,
though.
That's the time to sell, I think.
Tricky. Yeah, okay. All right, let's move it on. Let's jump to the other end of the week then. We discussed it very briefly at the top of the pod there. United versus Bournemouth. I mean, 4-4. I mean, what a game. It was one of my most enjoyable games that I've watched this season. So good. I noticed actually that as a result of that game, Manchester United jumped to top of the league in terms of XG this season. So 33.86 XG. And to put that into context, City are on 31.89, Chelsea 30.18. So United now creating chances left, right and centre. Bruno now, 9 goal involvements in his last 9, which I noticed no player across Europe's top 5 leagues has more than that since November. So he is definitely the man on form. And we've sat here, you and I think, discussed on these Off the Bench podcasts about his route to points. We like players with route to points. And we've just mentioned the fact that we like players over this busy fixture schedule period that have got that 90 minutes in them. Well, Bruno's got both of those. He's got both of those. So I think I don't want to put him in the essential bracket yet, but he's definitely a pick that I think a lot of FPL managers already have or should be looking at.
I guess the concern is with Mbeumo and Ahmad going off, the impact that has on Bruno and Manchester United. Because we know defensively, I mean, they struggled so much. In the midfield, you know, when Casemiro came off, they just looked so light, so easy to play against. And Bruno's going to have to do more now. So the fixtures aren't as good. I do wonder if you don't have him, at this point, you've missed 2 big, big calls for him. And I completely understand why you might be thinking to yourself, I need to get him in. But I do wonder if you actually just avoid him for the next couple. I mean, it's Aston Villa away, Newcastle. And then you look at maybe getting back in for Wolves at Wolves
19
at
is the Okay, yeah.
Would you be rushing to bring him in ahead of Villa away? That's the question. Because they look unreal.
Villa on fire, aren't they? They're on fire. And it would be a tricky. So, yeah, maybe you could go without in the next 2. But I just feel like, Bruno is the player that turns my arrow green every week. Like, you know, it seems like Manchester United are either the final or penultimate game most game weeks. I feel like they've played a lot of Mondays recently, Manchester United. And he just seems to thrive in that team. Everything goes through him. He takes the penalties. He takes a lot of corners, you know, the free kicks, etc. You know, will often produce the defensive contributions as well. So, yeah, if you've not got him yet, you probably can go without for a couple of weeks. Although, you know, with some of the injuries at Newcastle with Dan Burn, etc., we'll talk about him a bit later on. Maybe 18 is an entry point if you haven't got him. But yeah, Wolves at home in 19, followed by, what is that, Leeds and Burnley away. You've got to be looking at him then, haven't you?
You've got to be looking at him, yeah. I don't think there's going to be too many people listening to this who haven't got him, because if you had 5 transfers last week, you've probably used one of those at least to bring him in. But I think if for whatever reason you decided not to bring him in, like, do you like knee jerk now and bring him in ahead of Villa away, or do you stick to the plan and go, okay, I've avoided him for that, I'm gonna, you know, trust in the players I've bought in, I'm gonna take a punt on someone else like an Ekotike or something like that, and then look to make that move maybe a bit further down the line? But I think after that, I think after, you know, 19 and when Mbeumo and Ahmad are back, I would be very, very surprised if he left my team for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I agree. And defensively, I agree with you as well. You know, certainly even with Casemiro in the team, still prone to the odd error. I think the Semenyo goal comes from a bit of an error on that side of the pitch between Shaw and Mount. So not covering themselves in glory defensively there. And yeah, when Casemiro goes off, they do look really, really soft through the middle, don't they? Really soft. So I don't think any of us are looking at Manchester United defensively. A word on Bournemouth, though. I think if you held on to Antoine Semenyo, then fair play. He was a player that I took out as one of my 5 free transfers last week. I bought in Foden, so I was pretty happy with that. But for Semenyo to get on the score sheet here, if you've got him, you're absolutely holding now with Burnley at home coming up next. After that, gets a little bit trickier. Brentford away, Chelsea away, Arsenal and Spurs on the horizon. So yeah, if you held your nerve and kept Semenyo for this week, congrats, you get the goal. And he looks like a great pick for next week, no?
Yeah, I think you probably sell him after Burnley though, right? He's on four yellow cards probably. As well. So I think that ban's probably going to come at some point. And like you said, the fixtures do turn. But yeah, if you've held him through this, I think you'd be a bit disappointed. You know, if you've got like, say, there'd be people out there who've got Mbeumo, who've got Semenyo, and, you know, one goal, you know, for both of those across the eight goals scored. I think you'd be a bit disappointed with that. But Semenyo versus Burnley, I mean, that's a left field captaincy option. I mean, obviously most of us are going to be going for Haaland, but Burnley are very, very poor at the moment, and I fancy Bournemouth to win that game quite comfortably.
Yeah, you're saying Semenyo captaincy then, potentially, well, in game
if
17?
If you're not going for Haaland, because I think it's Operation Target Burnley at the moment. I think if you're thinking about, I mean, you did it with Wilson, obviously you bought him in, didn't captain him, but you know, you bought him in. But
that's a stretch too far to captain Wilson.
I'm guessing a lot of that was to target the Burnley fixture, and I think that is a strategy we're going to adopt, you know, over the next month or so, is can I bring in a player who plays Burnley? And if you are thinking of going against Haaland, then maybe that is the best captain.
Yeah, well, let's segue into that game then. Yeah, 7 defeats in a row for Burnley. I noticed they've got 33.4 XGC. So expected goals conceded is 33.4, which is the worst in the league. They've faced 247 shots so far this season. That's the worst in the league. And they've faced 88 of those shots have been on target. Again, worst in the league. He's got a job on his hands, isn't he, Scott Parker? He's got a real job. 7 defeats in a row. And like you say, it is very much target Burnley right now. And I did, you're right. I brought in Harry Wilson this week. I know a lot of FPL managers out there were looking at Raul Jimenez as well. But I looked at Harry Wilson in the last 3 games before this Burnley game, and I think he'd got scores of 10 and 8 and 8. And I was like, this guy's ticking over. And there was a little bit of narrative about XG overperformance, right? There was this that amazing goal he scored at Spurs, you know, very low XG. So a lot of people were saying, well, he's really overperforming. He probably will regress over the next few weeks. But I just saw it as a real opportunity to go in on a 3 or 4% differential who had a bit of form and fixtures. And that's now 4 goals in 7 games for him. I've noticed he's already taken a price rise this week. So people are not, you know, FPL managers are not messing about here as they're getting on Harry Wilson. That's his 5th goal of the season. He's Fulham's top scorer now as well, would you believe? And actually, when you watch the highlights of this game against Burnley, he actually could and should have had a bit more, in my opinion. Yeah. And he takes the corners, right? Another thing in his arsenal. In fact, only Arsenal have scored more from corners this season than Fulham. So outside of not being the penalty taker at Fulham, he's got it all, Harry Wilson. I really like him as a pick, and it's not too late to get on him, folks. He's still only sort of 4 or 5% owned. What do you think of him?
Yeah, and he's a good option if you're looking to bring in, you know, Fernandez or Bekatike or someone. He's that perfect sort of 5.5 million-ish player, isn't he? Like, he's not 6'5", something like that. He's going to be really accessible for people to get. I mean, I've got Minter, for example, and I'm looking at Wilson thinking I could save, you know, 0.7, 0.8 million if I moved him down to that. I think what's really nice is you heard Silva talking about him after the match, and he said, you know, he was my first signing when I joined Fulham, but he's not really, not delivered, but he's not really hit the heights that maybe his talent, because I think we all know there's an amazing player there.
Oh, yeah.
And if you look at his minutes over the season, like particularly at the start, you know, he plays 90, then he plays 20 minutes, then he plays 60, then he plays 80, then he plays, you know, 58, then he's benched. And it's like, you're never going to go there when a player's that sporadic. And now it's like, right, I'm now the central part of this team and everything goes
up, isn't it?
Through me. Yeah, that's it. And when you see a player like that step up, you kind of do have to take note a little bit. And when the returns are there from an FPL perspective, you know, it's like the perfect storm. I wonder how Fulham will be affected by AFCON. You know, some of their players going off. The fixtures do turn a bit after the next 2 weeks. But again, I don't think it's that much of a gamble to go for a 5-6 option. And yeah, he looks great. So go for it. Like it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And to be honest, when I brought him in, I was just looking really at the next 3 weeks. I was looking at that Burnley game, then Forest at home and West Ham, because it gets a bit trickier from 19 onwards. Like it's Palace, Liverpool, Chelsea. But I thought he looks good for these 3 weeks. The move that I then planned to make in game week 19 was to move him to Kean and Dewsbury Hall. So let's go to Chelsea versus Everton. That was going to be a move I was planning to make. But KDH off on 15 minutes with a hamstring injury. So bought in by 680,000 fantasy managers in the run-up to game week 16. So I don't know if he was the most bought, but he was definitely up there. And the FPL curse strikes again. So he's done his hamstring injury. We need to hear a bit more from David Moyes later this week, I think. But certainly he was one that I was eyeing up as a potential Harry Wilson replacement when Wilson's fixtures toughened up. But listen, I might stick with Harry the way that he's going. Chelsea versus Everton. Let's do Everton first. I've mentioned Keane and Dewsbury Hall. Bit of an injury crisis potentially at Everton, because Grealish, I think, also reportedly felt something in his hamstring. I don't kind of know what that looks like yet. Again, we need to hear from David Moyes. And then, of course, Gay and Ndiaye both departing for the African Cup of Nations. So we'll be unavailable for, you know, anywhere between 3 to 6 weeks, depending on how their countries get on. So, yeah, a bit of a midfielder injury crisis for David Moyes to have to handle ahead of, you know, what is a very difficult game, you know, easy one coming up next against Arsenal, right?
Well, I mean, talk about a crisis. I'd argue you could take any of those four players out, Dewsbury Hall, Ndiaye, Gay or Grealish, and you significantly weaken that Everton team.
Totally agree.
To take all four out, potentially, against one of the two best teams in the league, is going to be a really rough game, I think, for them. And yeah, I do worry about Everton going forward. I think, you know, obviously if you've got Ndiaye, he's an obvious sell. You need to be getting rid of him.
Yes.
Dewsbury Hall is a really frustrating one because he's so cheap at 5-1. And like you say, the fixtures are pretty good, like in a few weeks' time. And I think a lot of people would have had their eyes on him. But now I think you've got to make a decision on him. And you might not have the money. I know we've got transfers, but if you've used those transfers and he's 5-1, he's an awkward price to know who
he
to...
is. Yeah, totally.
Go to. So if you've got a bit of money in the bank, I think the Wilson moves is easy. But if you haven't and you've got to use transfers elsewhere to upgrade him, it's not going to be one that you wanted to do. So yeah, frustrating. I worry about Everton against Arsenal. I think they could. It's a good job they're at home. Let's put it that way. But I think Arsenal are going to be right up for that.
Yeah, I don't have any issues with playing Raya and Timber and Saka next week. I wouldn't have any issues playing them any week, actually. But yeah, given that the crisis we've got here, I've got Tarkowski in my team. Probably going to bench him next week. I would think probably going to bench him, if not sell, actually. A bit more on that later on. Chelsea, though, 2-0 win. Very professional performance from Chelsea. Cole Palmer back and amongst the goals. Still being managed carefully, though. Far from a 90-minute man at the moment. I, for one, would be up for a bit of a resurgence from Cole Palmer. I've noticed there's a mini FPL template forming right now with kind of Saka and Foden and Fernandes and maybe Harry Wilson, who knows? So I wonder whether sort of Cole Palmer coming back into the mix. Listen, he's 10.3 million. So again, you need transfers and you need money to get him in. I wonder whether he might just shake up the template a little bit. I want to talk about Chelsea defensively as well, because... you know, still looking good from a defensive perspective. But Cole Palmer, give me your view on him. Too early to bring him in, I would suggest, no?
Yeah, I mean, he is my ticket out of the mire this season.
Ooh, okay. All right.
I'm not sure when it's going to be, but I'm
no
looking
pressure,
at Palmer.
Cole.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, when it gets to around, I don't know, game week 21, something like that, it's a pretty good run. It's pretty rough for Chelsea up until then. They've got Newcastle, Villa, Bournemouth, Man City. Love that run. But for them, from 21, it's Fulham, Brentford, Palace. And then, you know, from 24, I mean, West Ham, Wolves, Leeds, Burnley, three of those games are at home as well. So that's hopefully around the time when Palmer's a bit more up to speed. He's got a few more minutes in his leg. Hopefully this groin injury's disappeared. And that's what I'm thinking. Okay, if I can be smart and bring him in and not wreck the rest of my team and give him the captaincy armband a few times, you know, and try and catch a time when Haaland's maybe a little bit quieter, that could be the time when I see my rank improving. Obviously, it could be the opposite of that. It could be that Haaland carries on scoring at the rate he is, but there's got to be some risks that are taken if you're going to improve.
How do you bring him in, though, Az? 10.3 million. You're going to have to make a sacrifice somewhere.
Well,
who would be the sacrifice?
This is it. It's not just a light for light. I'm wondering if by that time, I'm wondering how long this Foden bubble lasts for. You know, because obviously Foden is a great option, but he's not going to score double-digit hauls every week till the end of the season. He's got four in a row now, which is a lot. But as the season goes on, I do wonder if there might be opportunities to take him out. I mean, even Saka. I mean, Saka, I know, has 6 in 6. We're going to talk about Arsenal in a bit, but 6 Saka returns, that is. But he hasn't been amazing from an FPL sense. And I think we've had this debate over the last few years. It's like Saka's your player who ticks along quite nicely, but has he still got that explosive 15-pointer, 2 goals in him that Palmer definitely does have? So they're the two entry points potentially.
Yeah, all right. Well, a quick shout out, as I said I would, to the Chelsea defence. Reece James, now lots of 90 minutes in a week for him. So Can we start to trust his minutes again now?
I mean, well done to Maresca for managing that. Didn't think
very
it was
good.
Possible.
Yeah, very good. And I think if I was a Chelsea fan, not only would I be pleased with that, but it would also give me a lot of positivity, a lot of hope that he'll do the same with Cole, right? I feel like Cole Palmer will be managed back in the right sort of way. They've got the squad to do it, and Maresca's doing a very good job of it. So three lots of 90 minutes in a week for Reece James. A bit of me wonders whether he might compete with Gusto once Caicedo returns from his suspension, though. Trevor Chalobah as well, started every single league game. So look, these guys are, again, quite price prohibitive. Reece is 5.6 and Trevor Chalobah 5.5. So again, with the Chelsea fixtures, as you mentioned, Newcastle, Villa, Bournemouth, Man City, I think that's something that I can take on over the next few weeks. Highly owned, the Chelsea defence, and it hurts my rank whenever Chelsea keep a clean sheet. I think I'm going to take it on until probably game week 21, as you say. Then the fixtures get better. I'll be looking at Reece James and Chalobah a bit more by then, I suspect. Let's do Arsenal versus Wolves then. You mentioned Saka. That's six returns in six for him now. So yeah, ticking over. But as you rightly say, maybe we need more than him ticking over for his price point.
Dramatic, wasn't it? With the assist. Is he going to get it? Because I watched it over and over again. I was like, I think he's going to get it. But and then obviously FPL Towers took it away and then put it back. And I was thinking, okay. And in the end, it was the right decision. But yeah, it caused a bit of concern as a Saka captain.
Yeah, me too. I captained him as well. And, you know, I had very high expectations for points here, right? But not just from Saka, but from Timber and from Raya as well. So when the clean sheet got wiped out at the death,
yeah,
that was a tough one to take. I think Hincapié got DEFCON, I think, right at the death. So if you had him, fair play, well done. But for us Raya and Timber owners, yeah, that was a tough one to take, that Wolves equaliser. Eberechi Eze as well, for the second week running, hooked just before the hour mark. So after a few weeks ago, a lot of FPL managers buying into the Eze hype and getting in on him, he seems to have kind of taken a bit of a dip from an FPL perspective again. So I don't know how much we can trust Eze right now, which is, again, why I think a lot of FPL managers are going for Saka, because you just trust him to bring home the points. Okay, it might not be the big hauls that we want, although 11 points this week is very welcome. What do you think of Arsenal as a sort of in general then in FPL? I don't think there's any panic here, right? And they've got Everton up next, a depleted Everton, as we mentioned before, before welcoming Brighton and then Aston Villa, both at home, despite Villa being in a little bit of form. It's still a home game for Arsenal, so that's good. So, you know, no panic on Arsenal over the next three for me. Who have you got as your three, if you've got three, and anyone that you would think would be on the periphery of FPL managers' thoughts right now?
Yeah, I mean, Eze is a classic example, isn't he? Like we said, it's just he's such a talented player. But whenever it feels like Arsenal need to make a change or to tweak the system, or they're struggling, you're always going to be worried about the lineups, and he's always sort of the first sacrifice, I think, in these types of games. So
yes.
I just don't think he's an option. It's similar to like Trossard and Martinelli or Madueke. Like, you just never know which one of those is going to start. So in attack, I think that only really leaves you with Rice and Saka. They're the ones that they're going to play almost every minute they're available. I've got both of those. Rice is like obviously done really well, but again, he's that sort of ticking over option, gets a DEFCON every now and then, gets an assist.
Which his price is okay, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I got him cheaper. I think I paid about 6.6 for him. I think he's now up to about 7.1. So will I be buying him now? I think you can probably do a bit better with the money. Saka's fine. And then it's defense, isn't it? I mean, a lot of people doubled up. I wouldn't be doubling up on the defence now. Like if I was looking to buy another defender or buy a goalkeeper and I already had a defender, I don't think I'd be looking to do that. There's just too many injuries and problems in that team. It's
only one clean sheet in six as well now, right? And the majority of that was, since Gabriel's been injured, right?
Yeah, Saliba's back, which is massive, but now White's out. So that's going to put a bit more pressure on like Timber to play more minutes. Lewis Skelly is just completely out of favour.
Yeah.
Even with Calafiori suspended, he wasn't in the starting 11. So that was a surprise. So yeah, there's still a bit of uncertainty around that, but they're still a very, very good team. I was disappointed with them against Wolves. I thought particularly in that first half, I was expecting 2-3 goals, big haul from Saka. Got it in the end, but Wolves put up more of a fight in that game than I thought they would. So yeah, I think, it's all a bit about which three Arsenal players are optimal. I think you can get away with two at the moment. I think if you've got a Raya and Saka or a Timber and Saka or something like that, I don't think at the moment I'd be looking to add another one.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to stick up for the Arsenal defence a little bit, and maybe there's some bias here because I've got two of them. But the stats still say that they are the best over the last six. Their XGC is 4.19. Their expected goals conceded 4.19. That's still the best in the league over the last six. So despite conceding the odd goal, despite, you know, for example, the Wolves goal wiping out the double clean sheet, and in FPL, we all, you know, the toys come out the pram, certainly mine did when that goal went in. The stats still suggest that they are a pretty elite defence. But I hear you. You know, there is a lot of uncertainty in that Arsenal back line at the minute, and a lot of chopping and changing because of injury, that's for sure. Let's move it on to Brentford versus Leeds. As I want to talk about your relationship with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. What is going on? I'm just gonna hand the mic to you at this stage.
Well, I bought him in, for anyone who doesn't know, I bought him in game week 8 on my wild card, and it raised a few eyebrows. Let's put it that way. I went for him over Thiago, who obviously scored. I don't even know how many goals he scored over the run. But the idea of him was, you know, he's playing 90 minutes. He seemed like their first choice striker. He's on penalties. His XGI is consistently been good over the years, even if he hasn't necessarily had the returns. And he was supposed to just sit on the bench, and every now and then I might need to play him, you know, bring him in for a good fixture. It didn't work out. I mean, I played him against Burnley. I played him against West Ham. I used him on the bench boost, and I bench boosted him in against Villa at home in game week 12 when he didn't even start, when I really needed him. And then I just lost faith with him, because then it was Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool. And I thought, obviously, I'm not going to play him in any of those, games. He then scores three goals in freely. And
of course.
And then we're going
to
Brentford.
This is how FPL works, Alex. I know. This is FPL, quintessential FPL.
And then we go into Brentford, and I think, well, that's not a bad game for Calvert-Lewin, but realistically, I want to move for Thiago now before his price goes up. So I sell Calvert-Lewin for Thiago, who then blanks.
That's
Calvert-Lewin scores. I mean, you can't write it, can you? It's absolute peak FPL. Yeah, obviously really disappointed. I would love to have caught a couple of returns from him. Do I think he's a good pick? I mean, I still think if you're looking for a striker that, you know, as part of a rotation, or if you're playing five in midfield, he is arguably the best one, because there's no other striker. Well, this is it. There's no other striker cheaper than him who's going to play. And he is frustrating to watch, but he does get chances, and he's not going to go on another run like this, you know, with four goals in four, but he can pop up with the
odd goal. You've got to stop making big comments like that. Yeah? You've got to stop saying things like he's not going to go on a big run. You've got to stop saying things like Foden's not going to double-digit haul every week, because you know what happens next.
If Foden double-digit hauls every week to the end of the season and Calvert-Lewin gets another four, then I think I retire from this nice punditry stuff. But yeah, I think he's fine. Would I be buying him to play him every week? Absolutely not. Would I be buying him to potentially bring in every now and then, like I did in game week 8? I still think he's fine.
Yeah, okay. And from a Brentford perspective, then Thiago in for you this week? No regrets, right? No regrets. The fixtures look good enough that he'll get some goals over the next few, particularly Wolves, and then Bournemouth and Spurs at home up next look pretty good now.
And then he could have had a penalty, another one. But it obviously got chalked off for that.
Won't be winning anymore. It's only Dango Ouattara that wins the penalties at Brentford, and now he's off to AFCON. So that's their penalties drying up for the next few weeks, surely.
Well, this is it. He's going to have to start scoring some non-penalty goals, Thiago. And the slight concern with him is his underlying stats, when you take away penalties, are pretty poor. You know, I think it's 0.25 XGI per 90, which puts him down. You know, you expect a striker to be hitting about 0.4, 0.45, something like that at least. Haaland's is like one, over one, like expected goal involvement per 90 as a comparison. So he's going to have to step up a bit. The fixtures are still good. I'm obviously going to give him a few weeks. I bought him in, but he is a player who is going to have very high ownership and might be a player I look to take out at some point to, you know, get someone a bit more of a differential in.
Yeah, nice. All right, let's move on to Palace versus City then. So leading up to this game, I think Palace had only conceded one open play goal in their previous eight home games. So they were making Selhurst Park a real fortress. But City come along and score two open play goals. Of course, then Haaland gets the third with the penalty. So not a problem for City. And in the lead up to this game in the week, I did watch a little bit of the Palace game against Shelburne in Europe. And I noticed that obviously they had to travel to Shelburne. It's not a long way to travel over to Ireland, is it? But the pitch looked heavy. The weather wasn't great. And I just wondered whether they might come into this game already looking a little bit knackered, I have to say. Crystal Palace, such is their schedule. Their schedule's mad, isn't it? And I did wonder whether City might put them to the sword a little bit. I know that City had a European game as well, but listen, it's par for the course for them. All these guys are fit and they're used to playing twice a week. So I did wonder whether City, you know, might put them to the sword, and they did. Haaland, only two shots taken in this game, but two goals. Very clinical. Really, really clinical. Foden, again, as you said before, star of the show, right? 8.7 million, six goals across his last four matches. I actually noticed a nice stat, actually, that 3.38 million transfers in over the last two game weeks, over the last two FPL rounds. That's 3.38 million. That's the highest of any player across two game week period in 25-26 fantasy. And we've seen his price shoot up, right? He was 8 million when I blinked, and then I looked to the next day and he's like 8.5, 8.6 million. So
he's 8.8 really, now.
Is he 8.8? No, well, there you go. That's just, listen, I got him in a couple of weeks ago and I haven't been tracking it since then because I'm like, I just let him, you know, I'll take advantage of all those price rises. But absolutely flown up in price. And you can see why, right? Like you said before, that's his third double-digit haul in a row. A quick shout out to the supporting cast as well. I thought Ryan Cherki, he's only 6.4 million in FPL, by the way. He's got seven assists so far. They've all arrived in the last seven game weeks. That makes him joint top in the league now with Minta, with seven assists. Creates chances all the time as well. 29 minutes per chance created, which is one of the best in the league. I like him, by the way. I love watching Ryan Cherki. You know, when you watch these players and you just think, you're a baller. You're just fun to watch. I really, really like him. But I think because we've all got Haaland and most of us now have got Foden, I don't think we're going to be investing in Cherki as well. If anything, I'm looking at the City defence and thinking that needs a little bit of investment from my perspective. I don't have any Manchester City defence right now, yet this was their seventh clean sheet of the season. You know, Palace had chances. I think they hit the woodwork a couple of times. I think Jermaine Assar missed a decent one-on-one as well. So maybe on another day, Palace score in this game. But seventh clean sheet of the season, the underlying XGC, expected goals conceded stats back. You know, they support the fact that I should get a City defender. So I think I'm probably not going to get Cherki and go for the fun. I think I'm probably going to go for the boring option and get O'Reilly at the back for next week. But what do you make of City in this game?
Yeah, Cherki is the fun one. The problem with him is he's got virtually no goal threat at all. His XG numbers are really, really poor. I've said that. He's definitely going to score against West Ham now I've said that. But yeah, in terms of the numbers, they aren't really there. And assists are hard to predict because, you know, you could be the greatest, you have the most chance created in the league, but you still need to rely on other players to finish it. And Haaland is an unbelievable finisher and he's going to obviously score lots of goals, but he actually underperformed. He's underperforming this season on his XG. And I just find XA stats aren't always the best metric of FPL points. It's XG where I want my midfielders to be high on, and he's not getting that. So I won't be getting him. I'll be doing exactly the same as you. I'll be looking at the City defence. I don't think you can go wrong. I think they've now got quite a settled defence for one of the first times I can remember. Really, there's been so much chopping and changing with, absolutely, like Ake coming in, Akanji, you know, where's Vardiol going to play? But with 8 Nouri off, it's O'Reilly, it's Vardiol, it's Diaz, and it's Nunes. And you can pick any of those, and I think they're all absolutely fine.
If I said you have to pick one.
Yeah, I'm going for O'Reilly. I think he's the...
I think
he's the obvious one. He's still cheaper than Vardiol. I think if they were the same price, I might be a bit more... have a bit more consideration for Vardiol, but the fact he's like 0.7 more, his price is just going to keep going up. He's got that no threat now from 8 Nouri because he's gone to AFCON. He takes some corners. He scored from a corner a little while ago, and he's playing for that England place, isn't he? Playing for that England place on the left.
Why not? Yeah,
which
why not?
I think he should get. I think we've struggled at left back for quite a while. I mean, you could bring Hall in, but I think O'Reilly's probably the favourite now for
got a very good chance,
England,
isn't he?
Left back. Yeah.
Very good chance. Very good chance. So let's talk about Aston Villa West Ham now then. That's their ninth win in a row across all competitions, Aston Villa. Sensational stuff. Despite racking up a few goals here, they only got 0.45 XG, by the way. So there's some belters there. I mean, I don't know about you, but Rodgers' second goal, the way he took that, posted it in the top corner. Sensational stuff. So three goals off an XG of 0.45. So a bit of an overachievement there on the XG. So maybe we expect some regression to the mean. I don't know. But you mentioned Rodgers earlier on in the pod, right? Still only 7 million in FPL. All of his six returns, well, his last six returns have come away from home, I noticed actually. So he really likes travelling, doesn't he? Five shots in this game against West Ham. That's the most he's had in any match so far this season. So I don't know, have you noticed anything particular about Morgan Rodgers away from home versus home? Are the shackles off a little bit more when they're on their travels, Villa?
Yeah, I mean, Morgan Rogers burnt so many people, didn't he, early in the season? And a lot of people still remember that. What, 6-7 games without a goal from Villa, let alone from him? And he's a quite a tough player to predict when the points are going to come, because he scores in away games. He scores in, like, he's a big game player. He's outperforming his XG more than anyone else in the league, bar Foden as well, for example. So if you look at the stats, they don't paint a very good picture of him.
That's true.
But he's got that ability to score from range, in any game, because he's got that shot on him. He's also a player I like because he's trying to. You talk about competition. I mentioned like Lewis Hall for O'Reilly, but with Rodgers, I mean, he's competing in the 10 position for England against Foden, against Palmer. And again, at the moment, I would say he's probably got the jersey. He's going to be starting for us in the World Cup, because unless things massively drop off, I think Tuchel favours him at the moment. He's trusted him in the qualifiers. So, you know, with that in his mind, I do wonder if he can really kick on and have an outstanding season. But I'm a stats man, and I've got to be honest, when I look at the underlying stats for Rodgers, I am a bit concerned, because overperforming XG in the way that he's doing, I don't think is sustainable. So I want to see those stats improving, and him having more shots, more shots in the box, I think is a key one for him. If you've got him though, and you bought him in, you're going to be absolutely delighted. And I'm kicking myself for not getting him, but that's why I was a little bit put off by him. Man U at home though next. He's going to do well in that game, isn't he?
He should see it. Yeah, he should do. The way that United defending, and then Chelsea and Arsenal away, difficult then in 18-19. From a West Ham perspective, it's third attacking return in as many game weeks for Bowen. So, you know, we spoke before about Ekitike. If you can't stretch to Ekitike, maybe Bowen is an option. Now, look, in game week 17, they've got Man City, haven't they? Man City away, which is why we're all considering, you know, the Foden or the Haaland triple captain, right? Maybe for next week. We'll talk about that in a second. But from game week 18, and this is a conversation for whoever's on off the bench next week, so I'll be brief. But from game week 18, the fixtures for West Ham look great. It's Fulham and Brighton at home, followed by Wolves away, Forest at home. I mean, there's four really good fixtures there. So Bowen is going to be on some radars, I think, as of game week 18. The one that I want to put to you, and you know what I'm like whenever I come on these off the bench podcasts with you, as I try and tempt you with a little differential. Try and tempt you with a little differential.
They're normally right as well. They normally do quite well.
What about Matias Fernandes, right? Returned in 6 of his last 8 game weeks, either a goal or an assist or a defensive contribution. 5.5 million, only, get this, 0.1% owned. Literally no one's got this guy, right? No one's got this guy. But I noticed when Potts and Magassa sit in midfield, it gives Fernandes the freedom to get forward. And he's getting some returns. He's kind of ticking over. So at 5.5 million... there may be a little, that's not one for this week with Man City coming up. But in game week 18, there's a little season changing differential for you. So you can take that one for free.
Well, is he the the swap out for Wilson potentially in 19? Because obviously we talked about Fulham's fixtures turning there. If you want to take him out ahead of that, maybe you go for Fernandes. Do you know what? I'm not even gonna be negative about this one. I normally am, but I'm wrong on these more often than I'm right when you put these to me. So yeah, I would urge anyone listening to consider that, because yeah, Lee's got a good sense for these things.
All right, very good. All right, well, listen, let's quickly go through the next couple of games. I think the last couple of games we've got to discuss. I genuinely don't think there's too much to discuss from Forest Spurs. Spurs only generating 0.37 XG. You know, listen, I don't know what's going on with those guys at the moment. They're really hit and miss. I thought they turned a bit of a corner in the 3 games previous to this, but they looked, you know, down in the doldrums again. You've got to hand it to Forest, though. Sangare, in particular, with an 18-pointer, a couple of assists and a screamer. I think we have to call it a screamer. Late on, he's now heading off to AFCON, so you don't necessarily want to invest in him. But Callum Hudson-Odoi, only 5.7 million, so you'd put him in that same kind of cheap bracket with a 19-point haul, thanks to 2 goals and assists here. So very, very good. Finally, though, the derby, Sunderland versus Newcastle. I think if you've got Volta Marder in your team, you're bang unlucky. Bang unlucky. There was a few FPL managers looking to... Well, it's a good finish, wasn't it? Yeah, a good finish, but not in the right net, unfortunately, for his owners. Bit of an ill-tempered affair, this. 9 yellow cards in total. Bruno Guimarães booked, so he's now on the suspension tightrope, so he's only 1 away from a suspension, so keep an eye on that. I think Newcastle's XG in the first half was 0.02. They only had 1 shot. That was their third lowest in the first half of a Premier League game for the last 10 seasons, by the way. So really not a very good first half. And it picked up a little bit in the second half, but in the end, it was the own goal that did for Newcastle. Any thoughts for Walter Mardy owners? Any thoughts for Anthony Gordon owners from a Newcastle perspective, or even from Sunderland? What do you think of this game?
I'm going to come down with an iron hammer here and just say, if you've got Newcastle assets, I think now is the time to sell.
And Dan Byrne injured as well, right? Quite badly, I think. A bruised or broken rib.
They're just not right this season. There's something not right, whatever that is. Gordon is really, really struggling. It doesn't seem like Howe quite knows how to fix that, with Barnes obviously playing well, but then not starting some games, and Murphy playing well when I've seen him. But then they've got Elanga too. Yeah, and defensively, they just concede way too many goals. So I've got Chow, really disappointed in that. The one shot, I think Sunderland had the whole game. That was Isidore at the last minute, and Chow comes away with losing the clean sheet. I think now's the time. They've got Chelsea next. They've got a tough run of games. They do get better again. So if you keep them for the next couple, you're probably going to be tempted to keep longer term. But I just think there's better options right across the board. I would be looking to sell.
Okay.
And just a quick note on Sunderland. If you've got Sunderland players, like the goalkeeper's obviously been great. If you've got Mukiele, those types of players, that's all been fine. But they have got 6 squad members going off to AFCON, and 5 of them started against Newcastle. So I talk about Brighton's prospects. Surely we get a result at home against Sunderland when, you know, half of their team is departing for an international tournament. So I'm a confident Brighton fan in this game. And again, I think if you've got Sunderland players, while AFCON's going on, you want to be looking to get rid, I think.
Yeah, I agree. So this is always going to be a difficult part of the season for them, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and obviously there's so many games coming up. We've got the League Cup coming up, we've got a European tie for Palace. We've got lots of transfers, but also you want to exercise patience and just see who's going to be coming in and swapping some of these players out when you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Kelly Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday this week to look ahead to Game Week 17. Big one in the FPL family household, by the way, as Sam versus Lee, the FPL family derby. Liverpool versus Spurs this week. Can I ask you for a score prediction?
Yeah, sorry, Sam. I think this is going to be a Liverpool win. I think Spurs would have wanted to play Liverpool a few weeks ago, wouldn't they, when things were looking a bit darker. But it feels like things have turned around a little bit for Slot and Liverpool.
I thought you'd sit on the fence and go for a draw, Raz.
No, I don't think so. I think Spurs at home as well. Yeah, I think Slot's done well. I think he's come out of this, you know, look with the way he's handled things, you know, really well, and a couple of good results. Yeah, I'll go for a Liverpool win. I'll go for a 2-1 Liverpool. If you haven't done already, don't forget to join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is XY6XPL. Lee, it's been great chatting from one derby in the Brighton Liverpool game to your next one. Good luck the weekend.
Pleasure as always, as Green Arrows, everyone.